Thanks, Stephen. It's a pleasure to be here and to talk about Facebook's approach to issues around children and social media. I mean, just for a bit of background, in case you haven't heard of Facebook, our mission is to give people the power to share and to make the world more open and connected. There are more than 845 million people who actively use Facebook, and that means that they have used their account at least once every 30 days, and they're using it to share photos and updates on their lives and news and all kinds of things now that they're using Facebook for. It's really important to know that one crucial feature of Facebook, which is relevant to today's topic and many other things that are issues around the internet, and that's our real name culture. You have to be your real self on Facebook. This is not true elsewhere on the web, and it didn't used to be the case anywhere on the web. People could be a pseudonym, but now, if you want to use Facebook, you have to be yourself. This is me on Facebook, three of those people there are my children. They're not tagged on there. Even the 14-year-old doesn't want to be my friend. So today and every day, people are very active on Facebook. There are 2 billion posts and things being liked on Facebook, 500 million users log in every single day, and 250 million photos are being uploaded. So as you can see, there's an enormous amount of content being generated on Facebook every single day. A lot of it associated with our younger users, the under 18s. So I thought it'd be worthwhile talking about Facebook and safety and what every teenager, parent and teacher should know about the features on the site to do with safety. First of all, around privacy. It's something we absolutely recognise, that not everybody wants to use Facebook to share everything they do with everyone. And that's why we provide all kinds of tools for people to express themselves as privately or as publicly as they want to. Although when we talk about those who are under 18, we do take some special provisions, which I'll come on to in a moment. But what we do is provide controls which we try and make as easy to use as possible and extremely accessible in terms of helping people understand how private they are on Facebook and enable them to change it. And these are some of the tools that enable them to do that. For under 18s, we do have default privacy settings, which mean that they are inherently more private in their activity on Facebook. So, for example, for an under 18, this is actually from my profile, so it's not for somebody under 18, but if somebody who's under 18 clicks the public button, they want to share something publicly, they're not sharing it with everyone. They're actually only sharing it with friends of friends, and that's something that's a particular provision in Facebook. They can't change it. That's how Facebook is set up. They are not publicly searchable in the way that other Facebook users are. And many people don't realize this, including people from whom this is designed to protect. But these are special features we have for people who are under 18 in order to protect their privacy. We've introduced further controls with our new product called Timeline, which you may have heard about. Hopefully many of you are using it. Which enables you to control every single item on your profile. So this is actually a photo of me that one of my colleagues put onto my timeline. As you can see from the drop-down menu there, I can remove this from my timeline. I don't have to have it on there just because he's put it on there. I can remove a tag that he might have put on there about me, and I can indeed report this as spam. Actually, I was just pleased I wasn't sticking my tongue out, which is what I normally do when I'm focused on something like trying to throw a ping pong ball into a beer glass. We also have something called Activity Log, which is, again, a very prominent tool on the site. Now, everybody with a timeline, this is one of the drop-down menus you'll see right at the top of your timeline. And this will review everything you've ever done on Facebook and enable you to go back and revisit decisions you may have made in the past. So, for instance, I added a photo onto the site, and I could go back and look at that and decide, well, actually, although I initially posted that for all my friends to see, I now want to make it for only me to see. And again, this is a feature of Facebook that probably lots of people are unaware of. You can put things on your timeline that are only for you. So you can use it as your personal diary, your electronic diary, and you don't have to put everything on there for others to see. You can keep it as only available for you to see. So privacy controls are, we think, an essential part of helping everybody on Facebook, and particularly younger users, control their Facebook footprint and control how they are seen by others on Facebook. The other area I want to talk about is reporting. This is a reporting activity by other users that you feel is inappropriate or is making you feel vulnerable. And our reporting is there for everyone, but obviously it's particularly important in this context for younger users. So there are two main ways to contact Facebook or to get help in this area. We have something called the Help Centre, spelt wrongly for those grammarians in the room. This is one of the real problems I find in Facebook as somebody who cares a lot about grammar, is that our grammar settings are all set to US English. Something I've only been there 3 months, but hopefully I can change it. Anyway, in the Help Centre we provide lots of information and contact links for people to get help across a range of different topics. But we also provide ways in which people can contact us if they think that a particular piece of content is abusing our standards. Let me show you an example of that. So this is a kind of drop-down menu from within that reporting environment that enables you to report that somebody is not, that there is an inauthentic account on Facebook. And as you can see from this drop-down menu, although on this enormous screen, it's a little bit fuzzy, but this is suggesting that this rather peculiarly named individual is not a real person. And that enables you to report that, and then we will review it. And you might be surprised to discover that if you're reporting things in the UK, it's very likely it will be reviewed by somebody in Dublin. Our biggest user operations centre outside of the US is in Dublin, and much of the content or issues reported from this time zone will be addressed by people there. We also have special reporting. So there are things that we are particularly concerned about and we want to act very, very quickly if we get reports like this. So we have some special case reporting systems for suicide prevention. And in the UK, we work very closely with the Samaritans on that. But we have suicide partners across Europe. And indeed, just this week, we've sorted our suicide arrangements out in Spain. So we have arrangements that if we ever get an example of either a user indicating that they're feeling suicidal, or more often, a friend of a user saying, I'm worried about this person, they seem to be, you know, a suicide risk, and we can deal with that very, very quickly and get it to the appropriate agency so they can get in touch. For underage users, then, we have a special reporting. It's something we are concerned about. I imagine that could well come up in the Q&A, and I'll address it then. And for terrorist content. So, again, this is all about spotting the most worrying kinds of content and enabling people to report it more quickly than in other areas. The other type of reporting, and this is something pretty new on the site, is what we call social reporting. And the way we think about this is, if you think about the offline world, if you've got a problem with someone, whether it's, you know, as an adult, as we are here, or with another teenager, it's unlikely you're going to go to the police. It may be even unlikely you would go to the headmaster. What you may well want to do is go to a form tutor or a parent or a Cub Scout leader or a youth leader and say, I've got a problem with this individual. I'm not happy with the way they're behaving towards me. And we've introduced a similar thing in Facebook. So as well as reporting to us, you can do what we call social reporting, which is to report something. Well, initially we do suggest it's better to try and sort it out with the individual concern that you're unhappy with, but you can also report it to a third party who you trust, who can then get involved. So this gives you a sense of the report flow associated with a social report. So somebody's unhappy with a photo that's been posted about them, and they want to remove the tag that's associated with them on that photo. It gives them some options about what they can do, including getting help from an authority figure or a trusted friend. And then what they'll have is this ability to involve a third party in the issue and say, can you help me with this? This doesn't have to be a Facebook user. It could be somebody whose email address they've got outside of Facebook who can get involved and help with the issue. And we certainly found that this is something which is often a much more effective way of dealing with something rather than Facebook. Well, we will not know these people. We won't know about the nature of their relationship. We won't know how they interact with each other in the outside of Facebook, whereas it's very likely this trusted third party will. The final thing to say is that we work in partnership. So this is not Facebook deciding what's the best thing to do in and of ourselves. We have something called the Facebook Safety Advisory Board, which involves these five leading global safety organisations, and ChildNet International is probably one that's best known in this room. And we have senior representatives from each of these organisations who we meet with regularly to review our safety arrangements, and also when we're thinking of changing things, to run it by this group and get their perspectives on how we can ensure that what we do will enable children and parents and teachers to feel that it's a safe environment. If you want to learn more, you can have a look at the information about the Family Safety Centre and about the Safety Advisory Board. We have all kinds of tools in this area that are directed at parents, at teachers, at teenagers, and to help them use the site safely. And we also have something called our safety page, which is, as you can see, has got almost a million likes. So that means when we are updating things and we want to draw people's attention to perhaps a good practice report written by an external organisation, we can put it on this page, and the people who've liked it will be encouraged to go and look at that through an item on their newsfeed. And we think that's a really good way of making sure people keep their practices up to date. I hope you found that useful, and I look forward to your questions. Thanks very much.